There's something about a Christian endures faithful, awaiting the promise. Now, you have to, remains faithful. What does faithful mean? Well, I wish I could just say, you got to go to church 6.5 times a week. You got to do this. You got to do that. Quack, 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 and go on and on and on and on. But I have seen some preachers that were much more colorful and much more able to teach false doctrine than I am to teach the truth. And it's so it's something that everybody has to make their own mind up. And so while Tommy's in the hospital, I'm just going to go down through and talk about a Christian endures faithful awaiting the promise. Well, if you're going to try to endure faithful awaiting the promise, you need to know what the promise is. You need to understand it. And I'm going to do the very best I can to try and to present it to you in such a way that the Lord is the one who will deal with you. I won't. I'll teach you about it. But in the end, you have to make the decision yourself. There's no other way. First of all, I think the one thing is obvious. The Lord knows when He saves you. He knows. I mean, He knows. He knows. You say, well, are you sure that I'm absolutely positive? And He knows when He saves you. And you say, well, why do I sometimes, after I'm saved, why do I sometimes wonder, am I really saved? And to deny that you haven't ever thought that in your entire lifetime is just deceiving yourself. And so I'm going to try and concentrate on the promise and what being faithful means. And I'm not going to try to force you into anything, but I am going to just preach the word and you decide. I look up all these words in here and I make sure that they're true to what the words that the Lord used. And that's all I'm responsible to do. I'll pray for you and I pray for you a lot. But once you leave that body and go somewhere, I can't be used anymore to help you because it's too late. And it's what you believe is the way God deals with you. So this is a Christian endures faithful, waiting the promise, part one. When I was a young man, we hid under desk. And we would hide under desk because desk, D-E-S-K, in school. And they were those short desks, and we'd have to get underneath there like that. And oh, I think that was along about the fourth grade or somewhere in there. I can't remember for sure. But I remember that we'd get under there, and the teachers would say, now, if we have a Russian attack, this was during the Cold War age, if we have a Russian attack, well, you know, we need to be prepared. Can you picture an atomic? Back then, we had thermonuclear weapons. And they had them too. And I've learned a lot since I spent a lot of time in the National Security Agency. And I've been a meteorologist all my life. And I discovered a lot of things that bothered me. They don't bother me anymore. I know who my Savior is. I know what He's capable of. And we've never met personally and shook hands, but He sure has taught me a lot about Himself, and He's taught me an awful lot about myself. And my job is to just pass on what He taught me, not to embellish it or anything else. Now, in Galatians 2:21, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, I am crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? I mean, it's a fair question. Have you been crucified with Christ? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, it didn't mean that he was on the cross with Him. It meant that He died on the cross, and it was His shed blood that had saved them. Now, when you got saved, God knew it. God was certain of it, because God's the one that did it. And there's lots of things. So if after you make your profession of faith and you don't stay in church regularly, you're going to start believing you can lose your salvation. You say, well, why is that? Can't God keep me? Well, yes, he surely can, but do you really believe he can keep you? Is it something that you really think is true? So I'm going to concentrate on things like what these words mean that were taught by the apostles, taught by the disciples, and you make up your own mind. Now, it's no secret that across this earth, across this planet, only God knows how many different religions there are. He's the only one that knows. And when you get saved, he knows it for certain. You wonder about it. You say, well, why do I wonder about it? Because there is a devil. My brother doesn't believe there's a devil. He doesn't believe there's a devil. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, to him, it's not stupid. And so what I do, I just try to teach what the Lord said, what it meant. You say, well, why do you do that? Because the world is full of people today that are teaching false religion. They're nice people. They're wonderful people. You say, well, you think they're all going to go to hell? God does that judging. I don't. But I am the pastor of the church, and I am responsible to see that when somebody joins this church, that they know they're saved. And if they don't know they're saved, why, they need to be rebaptized. It's that plain. It's that simple. It's not all that pleasant, but it's true. Paul said, I am. Now, that's ego eimi. It means, it doesn't mean he was up there on the cross with him. He was giving him a big hug on the cross. He said, when Christ was crucified, he was crucified for my sins, and it was a blood sacrifice. Now, Paul said, nevertheless, I live. He said, I'm still alive physically. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, I'm your pastor. I'll just tell you straight out. You say, well, I don't know what to believe. Well, just keep coming and listening. I can tell you I'm not a heretic, but you're the one who has to decide. I don't have to decide. I know what I am. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing it. And the rest is up to you. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, instead of what I just told you, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because Christ is alive in me. Do you know why? Because it was a blood sacrifice. You say, well, how do you get that? You say, if you still believe after you've supposedly been saved, if you still believe that you can lose your salvation, do you want me to tell you there isn't any devil? Do you want to be like my brother that I dearly love, who believes that there is no devil? You have to disbelieve a large portion of the Bible to believe that. Harmonizing the scriptures includes a lot of things. But if God is alive, and I assure you he is, you say, how do you know? I never met him. I never shook his hand. But I know. You say, well, why do you think you can lose your salvation after you've been saved? Don't you realize there's a devil who wants to dissuade you from it and that you really aren't saved? He's very active. But the faith, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm sitting here because I was saved by the faith of the Son of God. That's why I love him. He said, you love me because I first loved you. And that's true. He taught me that. You say, well, where is it? Well, that's what we do here in this church. We try to do the best we can by the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. And we try not to be dishonest with what we say. And we try not to deceive you in any way. We look up the words. We study them. And we try to give you exactly what they mean. And so you can make up your own mind about your salvation. When the Lord saves you, believe me, he knows it. And believe me that you're going to have problems after you're saved because you're going to be tested over and over again. And there is a devil. He said, and in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. After you get saved, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Well, when Paul wrote this is in Galatians 2:20-21, And when he wrote this, he told you, he said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm telling you this morning, the only righteousness I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only reason I have it is because he gave it to me. It wasn't because I earned it. It wasn't because I did anything special. It was something that God began to convict me about when I was very young. I wasn't all that young, but I felt a lot more secure under the desk. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. His death was worthless. If I don't have his righteousness, you say, well, how do I know he gave it to me? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, right in dividing the word of truth. Surely by now in your life, after you've been saved, you've wondered sometimes, am I really saved? Well, the answer is something that only you can determine. It's something that God will help you in every way that he has decided to do, because God is the one who's absolutely positive whether he saved you or not. Galatians 5:18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I'm not led of the Spirit. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I am led of the Spirit, and I am not under the law. I am no longer under the law. I cannot be under the law, because Christ set me free from my sins. Who set you free? How do you know you're free? You say, well, I just know. You say, well, welcome to the club. You say, well, I've already made up my mind. Well, have I? Yes, I have. You say, well, how did you make up your mind? The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Surely by now you've seen in the world there are people who claim to be apostles. There are people still alive that say they're apostles. There are people who are still alive that say they're disciples. There are people here who say that this and that and so forth. When I was young, my grandfather had a book about that thick that listed all the denominations. You know how big that book is now? Listing all the denominations, it's about that thick. You say, well, what does that tell you? It tells me that a lot of people, after they get saved, go through life absolutely miserable because they can't make up their mind. Well, I tell you what, you know who made my mind up? Jesus. You say, do you know how I know that? Because he testifies that in my heart. He testifies it to me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I didn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. But once I came to realize that I wasn't under the law, I realized that Jesus paid the full price for all my sins. Now take a look at Romans 8:14-16. I'm your pastor. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God... If I wasn't led by the Spirit of God, I shouldn't be your pastor. If I'm not led by the Spirit of God, I should not be your pastor. You say, well, how do you know you're led by the Spirit of God? Well, I am crucified with Christ. You say, I don't know that. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You want to know what that means? Keep coming and keep listening and make up your own mind. You say, well, this is not something that just comes on you all of a sudden. No, it's something that happens. What is it? You believe God. You actually believe him. You say, well, how do I know I'm saved? He teaches you. He'll teach you. I guarantee you, he'll teach you. They are the sons of God. I'm not Jesus, but my faith is in Jesus. That's my Savior. I belong to him. Why? Because, for, the word, because, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Do you know when I believed, the preacher kept trying to lead me to Christ. I knew I was saved. You say, how did you know? Did God whisper in your ear? Did you see a vision of God? I just knew. You say, how is that possible? I can't tell you. All I know is I knew. And he kept trying to lead me down a Roman road and tell me what I should do to be saved. And I kept telling him, I am saved. He just would not accept it. He would not believe it. I don't blame him. I just didn't know. For ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means thank you, Father. How did he teach me to pray? He said, he told the disciples, he said, how do I know I'm a disciple? He said very plainly, he said, that whosoever believes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I knew that. I knew I was called, but the same God who called me, who's the first one going to get attacked after they get saved? The person that got saved. You say, well, did you ever doubt your salvation? Oh, yes. You say, well, you weren't God called. Oh, yes, I was. And the truth was, I respected God. I loved God. And I loved him because he first loved me. That's what he said in the scripture. That's the scripture. I loved God because he first loved me. I didn't have to do this and do that, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. You say, well, Brother McMurray, what about this book you were talking about that thick? That's about how thick it was when I was in the fourth grade. And all of a sudden, now that book is, Lord, it's bigger than that. Because you got more people believing more different things than they ever did before in the history of the world. And a lot of them are heretics. You say, well, why do you say that? You're going to run people off from the church. What do you want me to do? Let them go to hell and just not ever tell them the truth? You don't want me to teach them the truth? You don't want me to tell them about the truth? You don't want them to realize how saved they really are when the Lord saves them? You don't think that God knows when he saved you? You say, well, I don't know. I know you don't know if you're sitting there wondering about it. Because God wants you to understand, I saved you. I saved you. I did it all. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You say, well, I just can't believe that. Why? Don't you believe the witness of the Spirit of God in your heart? You say, no, I don't. Well, why do you think you're believing that? Why do you think you're believing that? It's because you must not think that it has to be something like a flash or bolt of lightning from the sky. That has to be true for you to be saved. That isn't true. You say, how do you know? Been there. God taught me a lot. And as he taught me a lot, more and more I came to realize that I was the problem. I was the problem. And when I started believing that he had saved me, and understood why he saved me, and understood how great he was, and how little and small and insignificant I am crucified with Christ. And I'm eternally saved. I belong to him. If God created the heaven and the earth, who created God? God is eternal. He has always been eternal. He's always been light. He never has been anything else. He wasn't a little tiny speck out there in the middle of nowhere, and there was nothing but darkness. And all of a sudden, God just said, I think I'll explode myself. Boom! And spread light all over the world. He did do that. But it wasn't darkness he spread. It was light. God is light. He always has been light. He never has been anything else. You say, well, Listen, you think the devil hadn't been successful in what he's good at? It's deceiving people that are already saved. It's deceiving those people. He said, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our soul that we are the children of God. You say, you mean to tell me you think there are some people that's faithful saying? 2 Timothy 2 and 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Think about it. I've been crucified with Christ. You say, well, I'm not sure. Study to show thyself approved unto God, or work when it needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're here this morning, aren't you? You're listening, aren't you? Do you understand now why what you're saying isn't correct? Huh? Do you understand that? Because it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Have you been crucified with Christ? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, I want to tell you, he is. You say, well, what if I believe I'm dead with him and that I'll also live with him? Well, where's your faith? Is it in yourself or is it in him? You're here this morning. I don't know what your spiritual condition is, but God does. He's the one that saved you. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. There's a condition. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If you say, well, I'm going to hell. Oh, wonderful. You want to do something about it? You want to believe what God says? You want to trust in Jesus Christ to save you? You want to believe when Abraham said to the people who thought they were the most wonderful people of light in the world, the Pharisees, the scribes, you know what they said to him? They said, we are the children of Abraham. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that's true. He was. You say, well, who created God? Nobody. God's eternal. He's always been eternal. He always will be eternal. You say, well, I want to be like that too. Why don't you trust him? Isn't he bothering you right now? Doesn't he bother you? Don't you doubt your salvation? I mean, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if children, heirs of God, how much of the reward do you want? And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You think the devil will quit bothering you once you trust him? Come on. The devil's been after you with all the power he's got, and he doesn't have all that much. The devil's been after you ever since you made a profession of faith. You say, well, I can't believe that. You can. You say, well, what's stopping me? You are. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ together. If, that's, this is a promise. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What does it mean to be glorified together? You look like him. Your light, blinding light, absolute blinding light. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You say, well, is that why Moses turned, asked to see God? And God said, I'll let you see me from the backside. And Moses looked at him from the backside. Because God is just. God has to do everything correct. You say, why? Because that's his very nature. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So you say, well, I don't want to doubt my salvation so much. I don't want to be bothered by it all the time. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, well, what kind of rest is that? You quit worrying about going to hell. You say, well, do I ever doubt I can doubt my salvation? I think I might lose my salvation? You do for a while. But after a while, God convinces you that you're the problem. God convinces you that to be a joint heir with Christ, You got to expect a little suffering. And we may be also glorified together. You think everybody in heaven is going to have the same type of a light, some type of a glow, or some type of a glory? Yeah, I think everybody is in heaven that end up there. But quite frankly, you need to get your life straightened out with Christ right now, this morning, if he's convicting you. And you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You say, well, when was he baptized? I've been trying to teach people all these years. Baptism doesn't save you. It does not save you. But you cannot suffer with Christ. You cannot go through life and enjoy the blessings of salvation until you get your life straightened out with him. And he's the only one that can do it. You want a reward in heaven? You think we're all going to live in those types of dwellings that they had during the wartime, where everybody lived in the same place and had the same glory and the same everything? You say, well, I can go over and show you this in Scripture. I'll give you 9 to 10. Oh, I can't do that. I can't give you 9 to 10 odds, but I can tell you that if you'll talk to me about it, I'll show you that that's not true. He says, 1 Timothy 2:12, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with him, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Deny us what? Rewards. You say, well, everybody's going to be just the same in heaven, and Tippecanoe and Tyler too, and all this stuff, and Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the roses. People will believe fables. People will believe fables. But fables aren't true. They just are not true. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Deny us what? Heaven and the rewards in heaven. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I tell you what, I sure learned a lot after I surrendered to do what God wanted. You say, well, does that make you special? No, not really. Because after you learn about yourself, you're not real fond of yourself. There's lots of things about it you don't understand. Lots of things you never will understand until you get to heaven. But I guarantee you it's all there in Scripture, and I guarantee you it's the Word of God. Hebrews 12:11-13. Now, no chastening. I'm your pastor. God has chastened me. And God will chastise me again. Why? For the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It means that I realize that if I don't do what God wants, if I don't let him exercise his will in me, if I fight him the whole time, but grievous. When God punishes you, you don't have to sit there and say, well, I think he's chastising me. Well, you don't have to sit there. I'll guarantee you, you'll know when he's doing it. You'll understand it. And I won't try to heap it on you and put coals of fire on you. Wherefore? Verse 12, this is what, wherefore is a conclusion. Whose conclusion is it? God's. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I'll tell you what problem you face in life after you get saved. After God saves you, God knows it. And you become his child. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Oh me, oh my, oh me, oh my. Did I go too far? Have I lost my salvation? Why do you think you may have lost your salvation? Because you're not being faithful like God wants you to be. You say, well, I like to do this, I like to do this, I like to do that, I like to do this, I like to do that. You like to do a lot of things. You got a carnal nature a mile wide. God wants you to serve Him, not the devil. And my brother has it very easy. He doesn't believe there's a devil. I believe a lot of people sitting on church pews don't believe there's a devil either. I think they think there may be. I think all this might be right. But I'm sitting here and I'm your pastor and I know it's right. You say, well, does that make you special? No, it makes God special. Because the truth is, I couldn't save myself. I still can't save myself. God saved me. You say, well, what if you're wrong? Well, look at yourself. What if I am wrong? What if I am right? Who is God? God is merciful. And the only reason He's accepting us is because His Son, who has always been eternal, who has always been light, extended to us His arm and made an offer to us. Repent. And when we repented and put our faith in God's Son, we were saved. You say, well, are you sure you're saved? I'm absolutely positive. You say, are you positive that He punishes you? Absolutely. I'm sure. So lift up the hands which are hung down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but it rather let it be healed. But let it rather be healed. You ever have a You know how an alligator goes? I've seen alligators and I've seen them move. And you have too. I mean, I've seen them move. I've seen alligators that are gigantic, but they all move like this. He says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. You know when an alligator starts chasing you, what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to run a straight line. It's exactly what you're supposed to do. An alligator has to turn. He loses a lot of his speed. A lot of people, after they get saved, they still doubt their salvation, and it gets to bother them a lot. So they get very faithful for a while, and then they just kind of move back and take it easy for a while. Well, if you want to do that, go ahead and lose your reward. I'd sure like to see you get it. But the truth of the matter is, for I reckon, Romans 8:18-19, for I reckon, that word reckon is interesting. I spent my life, large part of my life, in the Air Weather Service. I was there for a long time. I was in Vietnam. I was inside a wire fence in Africa. I've been all over the world. And I talked to millions of pilots. I hope I'm not exaggerating, because I briefed pilots all the time. For I reckon, you know what they call this kind of navigation? Dead reckoning. For I reckon, it's dead reckoning, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why? The word for is tells you why. For the earnest expectation of the creation, things God created, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, if you want to be saved, I've got good news for you. I can't save you. I'm saved, but I can't save you. Because God saved me. And it's something that you need to think about. If you don't know whether you're saved or not, this would be an awful good time to find out. For I reckon, dead reckoning, that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy. I guarantee you, I'm not trying to get your attention and say, look, oh, isn't Brother Michael Murray wonderful? Are not worthy. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. God made me worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Don't tell me we're all going to have glorified bodies that look exactly the same way. Don't tell me some people aren't going to be more glorious in heaven than others. It just doesn't fit the Bible. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be merciful. I notice that got your attention, Chuck. I'm going to be merciful. Because the manifestation of the sons of God is something that I don't have to present the rest of this to you. It tells you about the resurrection of the dead. And you need to ask yourself, am I saved? Do I really know the grace of God? Do I really understand it? Well, if Chuck will come forward, we'll just have one stanza of invitation. And if you